Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff Dunn. I worked with Susanna Mia Lewis, and this is part of my dissertation work that I just finished this summer, where we looked at field and laboratory-based methods for evaluating African Bermuda grass germplasm for freeze tolerance. And so what I'm going to start off with this morning is a very brief introduction on Bermuda grass winter survivability in North Carolina. I'm going to get into the field-based evaluations, the freezing test, and then wrap everything up with a brief summary of the application of Bermuda grass freezing studies. So you can follow along on the top of the page just to make sure that everyone's on the same page of what study I'm going through. So in North Carolina, we have a unique position focused in the transition zone, which allows us to study either cool season grasses for drought or heat tolerance, and then also warm season grasses for freezing tolerance. And if we look at the scope of the turf grass species that are in the area, it's predominated by tall fescue due to the cold tolerance and the maintenance of the green color over the winter. And as you can see, Bermuda grass is kind of nestled right there in the middle with the cold hardiness between St. Augustine and tall fescue. Part of the reason that we wanted to investigate African Bermuda grass species is due to a combination of shade and cold stress breeding. So the idea here is that we've already gone through and made selections on shade-tolerant common types. And so what we'd like to do is to be able to effectively measure African germplasm either for line development and or hybrid crossing in combination with our shade-tolerant varieties. So the first study that we looked at was the field-based testing. The experimental design was a randomized complete block design with three replications. There's 40 genotypes in total. Some came from plant introductions. Some were collections courtesy of Dr. Brian Schwartz at University of Georgia. And then also control plots. Our controls were based on a varying range of freezing tolerance that was reported. And our four controls were Patriot, Quickstand, Tifway, and Tifsport. The evaluations were done in North Carolina at the Turfgrass Research Field Lab in Raleigh from 2011 to 2015. We evaluated spring greenup in April on a 1-9 scale, brown being hasn't started spring greenup yet, or green being fully green plots. Same thing for winter kill. Don't get confused, because winter kill could be associated with, you know, 9 being a highly winter killed plot, but this is more of an effective scale and on the same values as spring greenup. So again, brown being completely dead from winter kill and 9 being completely green. The analysis is done in GLM, and then mean separation test is done using Fisher's protected LSD. So here's a list of the 40 genotypes that we used. Again, some from Brian Schwartz at University of Georgia. We did put some common types in there, potentially for cold tolerance hybrid production, but also a number of the African Bermuda grass types. I wanted to point out the weather conditions for the winter times in North Carolina. So 2010, 2011, this would have been during our establishment time. And as you can see, in December and January, we had relatively cold winter. I'm from Wisconsin originally, so when I say cold, it's not really that cold. In February and March, it started to warm up, so you could see the spring green-up effect from that. In 2011, 2012 was by far the most mild, and so we didn't record, or we recorded spring green-up and winter kill values, but I'm not presenting them due to lack of separation between the genotypes. In 2012, 2013, you can see a relatively consistent cold period from December on through March. So this would be maybe a lower discrepancy or a lower separation between each of the genotypes. 2013-2014, we had an early onset freezing in January, and then to differ from that, in 2015 we had a later onset, so you could look at the effects of deacclimation in February. So with that, I'm going to look at some of the results here. So keep in mind, so 2011, this would be our establishment time. So usually, or I'll bring this point to light, correlation doesn't necessarily imply causation, but in 2011, usually the plots that established a lot quicker had less winter kill injury and a quicker spring green up. In 2013, again, we had a somewhat mild but consistent winter, so the values or the ratings between each, the separation is very minimal. In 2014 was probably the harshest winter, and we had early onset freezing, so spring greenup was somewhat delayed, and winter kill was most effective in that year. In 2015, again, we had the late onset freezing in February, so you could see potentially a deacclimation event given the characteristic of each genotype from year to year. So from this, we can rank our controls just to see how we did in comparison to the literature. So Patriot performed the best in both spring greenup and winter kill, with variability between Tifway and Quickstand for performing on the lower end. If we look at the top 10 in each of the characteristics, nine of them were actually of African type, so this is very encouraging for us if we wanted to continue line development. And typically, if they did perform in the top of spring greenup, they also performed in the top of winter kill. So nine of the varieties that the genotypes that provided the best spring greenup also provided the best winter kill. We did have one common type that was provided both high values of spring greenup and winter kill, and then there were two down here that provided either good winter kill or good spring greenup values. So from this, we can conclude that we have identified a number of African Bermuda grass lines that we could use for winter hardiness trials across 5 years of the evaluations from 2011 to 2015. We could use this for improved line development in the African type, or also for hybrid crossing from our shade tolerance program. But what we really wanted to do towards the end of this was a five-year evaluation, and for breeders, that's a long time, and we wanted to see if there was a faster or maybe a more efficient means of evaluating cold tolerance or cold tolerance identification. And so this brings us to some control-based freezing tests, laboratory-based freezing tests. So from the original 40 genotypes, we selected 22 to be a part of this, and this was a random selection. And we also included Patriot and Tifway due to the most amount of information that was provided on an LT50 scale in the literature, and also the widest range in LT50. This was a complete block design, three runs, two replications, two samples within each replication, and then four temperatures. The negative 7, I know that I show negative 9.8 and negative 9 or 7.6 for the LT50s, but negative 7 in our study actually killed everything. So we basically I only ran the negative 4 and negative 6. So again, here's our list of 40 genotypes. Randomly, we selected the 22 genotypes, including the controls, to be a part of the study. We took plugs from the field and planted them in 1-inch containers to be a part of the freezing test. They were cold acclimated for a week at 13 degrees Celsius, and then cold acclimated for an additional week at 3 degrees Celsius prior to our freezing test. They were placed in a freezing chamber. There were plastic bags wrapped around to provide or to limit desiccation of the plant tissue, and then also probes to make sure that our soil temperatures reached our freezing temperature targets. And then they were evaluated after. And so the evaluation, we decided to do it based on the survivability of each plug. So if it had green tissue, we considered it surviving. We evaluated for 3 weeks, and you notice a change during the three-week period. So we would give a 1 if it was just continued, if it continued to be alive for 3 weeks, a 0 if it was dead. If it had a recovery, we considered it a 1 or surviving. And then if it was green after coming out of the freezer and then wilted and died, we considered it dead. We used a logistic regression to plot probabilities based on 50% death. And this might be a little bit different than conventional LT50 values. And then we used the Pearson correlation to compare those temperatures to our spring green up and winter kill data from the field. So if we look at this, this is a plot of the probabilities of surviving. If we cross-section the LT50 value or the LT50 probability and then plot the temperatures down at the bottom, we can get a temperature effect for each of the genotypes. So here is Patriot down here on the bottom. And then this is Tipway, so you can still see that we had good separation between the two. And then we have a number of genotypes that perform better than Patriot, and then quite a few that perform better than Tipway. So based on this, again, correlation does not imply causation. This is the first time we had run freezing tests on Bermuda. But Patriot did perform better than Tipway, so we think we are on the right track as far as this methodology. But there could be more, and based on this, we can assume that more efficient testing can lead to better resource allocation for the field. So as opposed to doing 5 years and having 40 genotypes, or, you know, we can potentially narrow that down with a freezing-based protocol testing like this to be able to use more field resources at our disposal. And at the very least, we think that we can select moderate to superior genotypes prior to planting them in the field. Mm-hmm. So in summary, we had a number of genotypes that performed very well for spring greenup and winter kill, but overall the PIs 290905, 647879, and 289923 performed the best. If we look at the lab-based freezing tests, if we look at the top five, we see that two of them, 647879 and 290905, both performed well in the field and also in freezing tests. So our future considerations for this is to continue comparing field evaluations to freezing tests, and also continued testing of our freezing protocol. There's a number of ideas as far as acclimation treatments, whether or not you should include acclimation treatments and do it based solely on the genotype. Also, de-acclimation events can have a severe impact for North Carolina, particularly in February when we have those late freezes when things are coming out of dormancy. And then also we had some ideas of pulling cores directly from the field and placing them in freezing chambers to see if they would go through a normal acclimation period in North Carolina out in the field, what would their effect be in the freezing chamber. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for being here early this morning, and I'll take any questions. I do have a quick shameless plug for our Turf Trends for Changing Times symposium. It'll be in December 14th. You can stream it online, and for registration information, you can go to events.reporter.ncsu.edu/turf. We have a number of really good speakers, so that should be a good event. So with that, I'll open it up to some questions. So the question was if I tested temperature and probability, the interaction between those. Right. So based on a logistic regression, you can actually apply a a selection process. And so when you're adding a model together to see whether or not an interaction does present a significant value, in this situation, the temperature and the genotype did not. And so we can plot the probability based on just the genotype alone and see what the temperature result is. Yes?
Did you have to account for in years that you had winter kill with some of the genotypes? So for the following autumn before, kind of during the cold activation period, were all the cultures that are genotype status similar levels of growth, or did you have to reestablish the problem with winter kill?
Right. So the question was whether or not during the years that we had to reestablish some of the plots due to winter kill, or if the plots were able to recover from that. And again, for most situations, especially in North Carolina, it's very easy to recover from these, especially Bermudagrass being what we call like a glorified turf weed. It does recover quite beautifully in North Carolina, even if we do have a substantial amount of winter kill. So no, we didn't have to replant any of the genotypes during the summer.
Just one more.
What was the mowing height for the African accessions in the field?
Yeah, so I left out some of the details because I had a lot of stuff to cover, but the mowing height for all of the trial was 2.5 inches.
Hey, if you have other questions for him, catch him after the symposium or the session.
Sounds good.
Let's give him another round of applause.